Right, so for the benefit of the tape, the time now is 7:53. There's been a technical problem with the sound recording system, and so for the benefit of that, I'll just summarise what we've spoken about so far. That is the chairman's notices, which spoke about health and safety. We've had apologies for absence, which is in respect of Councillor Channer. Councillor Mrs. Thompson is substituting on her behalf. We spoke about the minutes of the last meeting. There was an amendment to part 149, which spoke about Councillor Pudney as a new member. We've also agreed to change minute 1150, which was brought about by Councillor Savage. This was agreed to change the must to will. And on page 8, which is also page 97, Councillor Helm raised the point of that we don't need to have an overview and scrutiny committee as a comment, that it was mentioned on two occasions. Councillor Savage, on paragraph 2 and 6 of page 8, which again page 97, spoke about the LGA giving advice. Ms. Ng has said that it was actually written guidance, not advice, that was given. And although you said that you felt that it should be in bold, I was happy that as long as it says guidance, I'm happy with that. Minute 157 spoke about the chairman's use of a casting vote. I clarified that my casting vote, nor my first vote, was used, that I accepted the committee's decision, majority decision. And on page 99, which is page 10, we spoke about the August meeting and whether a representative of the aerodrome would still be attending. Disclosure of interests, then Councillor Pudney spoke about his involvement with the health service and anything relating to that. Are members happy that that is a fair summary so far?
It's okay. A fair summary, Chairman.
Thank you very much. We then moved on to agenda item number 6, and this was the elections improvement plan, and I'll hand over to the Chief Executive to take us through that report. Thank you, Chief Executive.
Okay, I'll just briefly reiterate what I said previously. So this report provides an update on progress on improvement work on our elections function in the light of some of the problems we experienced back in the 2015 combined election. I mentioned that there have been previous reports to this committee on this subject, and officers have worked closely with Councillor Bass, who has been the scrutiny representative, helping officers with this piece of work. I talked about the fact that what we've done now is we've put in place a core team of officers responsible for different elements of the election process. So we've got someone responsible for electoral registration, the count, the preparation of polling stations and ballot boxes and so on, and that's meant that we can they are responsible for their elements of the project plan, and we meet periodically to review progress against that. We also have risk registers that we manage, so we consider the things that could go wrong and we plan contingencies around those. I talked about the fact that the EU referendum was certainly a record-breaking election for this authority. There was a considerable interest in it. Our electorate has increased to a record level now at 49,073, and we achieved a turnout of 79.2% of the electorate on actually took advantage of their vote. As far as this is about how far I got to. So, as far as the achievements, as far as this election, we feel it was a particularly positive experience. We've received a lot of positive feedback from a number of different people, so the agents that were involved in this, the staff that were involved, so the staff that manned the polling stations have given us positive feedback. as far as the preparedness and the streamlining processes and so on. We also had a, following the election, we had a debrief session, so it's always worth reviewing how it actually went, and there are, you'll see Appendix 1 to the report, there are a number of areas where we still feel there is further work to do, which I'll talk through in more detail in a minute. And we also recognise that as far as this election is concerned and the last election, we haven't had to manage the nomination process, which back for the combined election was very resource intensive because we were managing nominations for districts, parish and the parliamentary process, and with hindsight there were a lot of improvements that we know we can make. We need to look at the workflow for that and not leave it all, the responsibility with just two individuals, which caused quite a few backlogs. So we recognise that there is still work to do on that. We haven't tested those improvements because we haven't needed to yet. So the next plan for the county election scheduled for next year will certainly be working in advance of that election to get ready for that nomination process. So just moving on to Appendix 1, it gives some more detail. So you can see the specifics where we felt there is still scope for improvement. It's always difficult to gain the required amount of staffing. It's always a worry to me right up until those ballot boxes have been taken by the presiding officers that we've got sufficient staff. So we need to work harder, I think, to attract staff to carry out the function. I think for the polling stations, we had quite a few contingencies, so it went well, but I think it's something we need to continue to work on. Similarly with the count, we did really well this year. It was great to invite the young people from the Plume School. Well, we invited Plume and Ormiston, but we got young people from the Plume School to come and help us with the count, which for them was a great experience. And I'd hoped that they, nice young people, they'd be really speedy, but I think there was definitely work that we could do to improve the pace that they counted at. So, they were really, really focused, but actually the use of the little rubber fingers to speed up the process. I think we should have been more directive in how we expected them to count, as opposed to leaving it to them to decide how to do it, because actually they were doing it one by one and it could have been a lot quicker. So we recognise that, and we think there's more work to do to offer more focused training on that. Another point that, small points, but they all make a difference. The ballot papers were really thick and they were sticky, and we feel that actually thinner paper would have been more, would have helped.
User-friendly.
It would have been user-friendly, yeah. Just would have been more malleable and easier to count. We intend to continue to focus on using young people, because I think it was a really good thing to do. But I think what we'll probably do is have a greater balance of evenly balanced. This time we had, I think there were about 38 of our 51 counters were the youngsters, so we'll probably try and have half and half next time. We're constantly looking on benchmarking and best practice. What we'd like to do is look at those authorities that managed to get that count turned around unbelievably in an hour and a half, some of them, and find out how they actually do it. Is it just about additional resource, or what is it they are doing that allows them to be that fast? Because it all went really well, but we weren't the fastest, we were relatively slow as far as the performance that we delivered. Things that did go well, as I've mentioned, the project team structured approach, and for me, knowing that we've got a focused improvement plan and a focused project plan, so we know what needs to be done, and we're constantly measuring whether we're achieving that. The postal vote processing went extremely well, so I think last time some of the problems we had were that those postal votes were distributed late, which meant they were coming back late. We were, as far as deadlines are concerned, we got those postal votes out as early as we could on all the way through the process, which gave us a head start on that. And we've got an experienced team Wendy Morse, who's now the person who team leads the elections function, was actively involved in that process and is a very efficiency-focused person. So we made quite a few improvements on streamlining those processes. Staffing, we did a lot to ensure that we spread the load. So we provided quite FAQs for our customer services staff, so they were all properly trained on the types of questions people would be asking. So we dealt with as much as we possibly could at first point of contact, which meant the staff in the back office, the election staff, had more capacity to get on with the more technical work. Training, we had a number of training sessions. We always do, but we had training sessions for our polling station staff, station inspectors, customer services and committee services staff. So on the day we had people that were able to answer questions for the public. And we were really proactive in comms as well, using our website and using the guidance that the EC had provided to local authorities to use. Again, communications with agents, the Director of Resources did a really comprehensive pack to go out to the agents. I think it's better than we've ever done. So it had information on all the different staff at the count, photographs of them so that they knew who they were talking to, and a clearly clear analysis of the different processes that will be going on, so they understood that. And the ballot box collection and content, we moved, so preparation of ballot boxes is a really resource-intensive process. Having had to do it myself last year, I now understand how, you know, just how time-consuming it is and how important it is to get it right. But we managed to bring all of that forward so that the ballot boxes were ready for collection the day in advance of when they would normally be, which means that the presiding officers and poll clerks, presiding officers got a longer period of time to review it and understand the content. We also arranged for that all to the collection of that to take place down in reception. So, and I was down there during the time when those ballot boxes were being picked up, so I got to meet all of the presiding officers and answer any questions that they have. So that went particularly well as well. So, broad summary of the improvements that have been put into place. I'm particularly pleased. I think it was, you know, it was a good feeling. It's a great example of teamwork and pulling together and focusing to make it to make it work as effectively as possible. But as we say, there are always further areas of improvement, so they'll go into our plan for next time. So the recommendations on for this report are that you note the report, and we're asking whether the Overview and Scrutiny Committee is happy for this item to be removed from your work programme in the light of the feedback that you've had. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Could I take Councillor Bass first of all, because I think this paper was brought about by yourself.
Thank you, Mr Chairman. I think, to be fair, the Chief Executive's given a very good summary of what I believe is a very good report. I do like this, what went well and what didn't go well. I think that's a very good one. And I think most of the issues were covered. Things that I thought was better, that it seemed that the polling stations themselves were better set up. They got all the stuff they wanted, whereas previous times some items were missing. And so all the sort of background stuff was obviously done much more thoroughly, which I think is a good idea. I would put one warning up about the postal vote situation. Worked well this time, but was a disaster the previous time. But some of that blame has to be laid at the door of the post office, and I think we've got to be very careful when we give instructions to the post office for the next election that it's clear what their requirements are, and they've got to give us the assurance that they can do it without missing deadlines, because that's important. That's beyond our control. If the post office turn around and say they haven't got enough staff in their sorting office to process it, we can do nothing. So we have to get that clear, I think, beforehand. And the only other thing I'd say is that I think the communication with agents is important, and I do understand from the Chief Executive that one or two perhaps were just being a bit overzealous during the count. And almost, intimidating those who were doing the count. Now, we don't want that to happen again. So we need to make sure that agents are clear what their function is. and how far they can go in making their queries and whatever. And rather than, you know, challenging, if you like, the count, they must go to the table manager first. But all in all, I think it's really been very, very good, and I think it's been a very worthwhile exercise. And whilst I don't think we need to be first, and we don't want to be last, so I think we can speed it up a bit, but let's get it done properly and not worry too much about whether we're first, second or third. But all in all, I think it's very good, and I would recommend that, you know, we take this off our list. But what will be nice, possibly after the next election, if the committee wished, is just have a brief report back from the chief executive or the election managers, just sort of just to update us, but officially remove it from our list for the moment.
Okay, thank you for that.
I would propose that we do that.
Thank you. Can I just ask, everybody who wanted to vote was able to in this latest election, is that correct?
There were some issues where people arrived at, I was at a polling station actually, where a young person arrived to vote, but they'd had a postal vote and they lost their postal vote, but unfortunately they arrived at the polling station after 5 o'clock. So if they had arrived before 5 o'clock, we would have been able to organise a replacement vote for them, but the rules say the cut-off is 5. So there were a few people that were confused around their postal votes, but really I think we might have had five complaints at this time, whereas, you know, when you've got an electorate of 49,000, sometimes, you know, there are reasons for people to feel the need to complain, but I was confident that the processes were properly delivered.
Okay. There was one case, Mr. Chairman, where there was either one or two young people delayed in London with the traffic of the railways, and the parent had brought the ballot papers along and said, could they vote on their behalf? Well, obviously they can't.
No.
So there were a number of people who weren't able to vote, but it was for their because of their own circumstances, not ours.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Savage, do you want to speak?
Yeah, it's just one thing. It's page 17, and I've only got page 17, and it's appendix 1. Bottom bullet point, communications with the electorate. But if you go over the, it goes slightly over the page. I've got a slight problem with this. Coming up frequently with communication, what about all those that don't have internet? What about the people that are difficult to contact anyway? That's not addressed. And then I come up with the fact that almost three quarters of the population actually voted, so I have a slight problem with that. On the other hand, when I was 20, 1971, I voted not to go in the common market, and it's taken all this time to prove that I wasn't wrong, and I've got a long memory. So I do have a slight issue that the difficult to reach people are not addressed in this.
Okay, I understand that. I mean, I do understand that this was also something like a 72% turnout, which I think was very good. Councillor Dewick.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. It may seem almost like nitpicking, because to be quite honest, it is just a very minor detail, but it's on the same thing as Councillor Savage, communications with the electorate. My wife and I were asked to do proxy votes for three different people, and the cards, not all the cards turned up, so I just tried to ensure that it had all gone through correctly by phoning to speak to the electoral officer. And I ended up in the reception roundabout, sending me round and round, if you want to do this, press one, if you want to do that, press two, and you then get the election information, which, to be honest, was out of date. I was phoning about 2 days before the election, and I was being told that the closing date for postal votes was, I don't know, not 10 days earlier. I mean, surely it would have been better if it had been redone to say postal votes have now closed, and it was also to say that you can no longer, instead of also applying for a proxy vote, that had gone by days. Again, that was ancient history, and it's frustrating enough to sit in a queue anyway and wait and wait and wait, and it was quite long-winded waiting, and then just to get a lot of out-of-date information into the bargain. I didn't find very helpful and didn't improve my mood. Apart from that, I didn't have any, I went to the polling station and it all went very well and very easy, and everything else seemed very sensible. But it's just these silly little odd things can frustrate people at times.
Are you able to respond to that?
It obviously happened, and on that basis I agree with you, I would be frustrated as well. So it's something we need to be on top of and make sure those, I don't know whether you've got anything to say, Wendy, on that. What happened, but if it wasn't removed, then that it should have been. We need to make sure that there is a proper staged series of comms that are removed at the appropriate time. So I totally acknowledge what you're saying.
Sorry, do go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, just to add on that point, we did have kind of a phased update, so I'm surprised that you had that experience of calling just a few days before, so we'll double check. But we did have sort of, I think, three different issues, three different sets of scrims to be updated at various times, so perhaps it just didn't get updated. So apologies if you have that issue, but we'll look into it further.
It was a Monday or the Tuesday of that week that I phoned, I can't remember which, but it was definitely giving me ancient history at that stage, so thank you.
Chairman, regarding the wait, that information can be obtained, can it not, from the call centre? Haven't we got records of how long people are waiting? Or is that just a visual thing that only happens, it's not recorded?
I believe it's only something that's recorded from the perspective of the caller. I don't think there's an actual record held.
Actually, there is a record. So we keep a log of that, because it's something that historically was very problematic and upset quite a few people spending a long time in the queue. So it would be interesting to have a look at the length of the wait around that period of time. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's something they do. Actually, they do. Yeah.
Okay, I've noted your request, Councillor Thompson. Councillor Helmers first. Slightly before.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Was there any problem with voters getting to the polling stations because of the floods?
We haven't been made aware that anybody was unable to get, that felt they missed the opportunity to vote because of that. You'd hope that the community would pull together and get people there, but as far as the day is concerned, we did have to implement contingency plans, because certain places, certainly in the north of the district, you wouldn't have been able to get back to the council offices from the polling station if you didn't know the district as well as somebody who lives there does. So we called upon, as you know, we called upon some of our members that have four-wheel drives to have to help us get those ballot boxes back if it was necessary. For me, the thing that was worrying but surprising, actually, was on the morning of the election, having heard that the rainfall the night before, was calling and being clear on the morning of the election that all the polling stations had been opened and the staff were there, and I was relieved that they had, because I know from my own personal experience trying to get from Darcy to Heybridge, I ended up having to turn back about three times. So it was fortunate that we managed to get those polling stations open.
Thank you for that. Goldhanger came back via Tiptree, by the way.
Yeah, which
is the
only way.
Right. Councillor Mrs. Thompson.
Thank you, Chairman. It's actually not a comment on the process, but a query on the content of the report. 3.1.6, Heybridge West by-election.
Yes, 3.1.6. Apparently, this is a parish election which is taking place. I'm not quite sure whether or not we will be able to test this process, because I believe that there was less than 21% turnout at the last parish election. So I'm not quite sure that will press too much on that. I've just a couple of questions, if I may. On part A, on Appendix 1, further action improvements identified, has any preparation been done in order to bring those things about? Speaks about article in the Courier, inquires with Job Centre Plus, reviewing the thickness of the paper.
Not yet, Chairman. We will have a... We've we'll need to kick-start the engagement around staffing as early as possible, but I think now is a bit too early.
Okay.
To be commencing that.
Councillor Spanford.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It was actually on that note that you about the staffing. Is there not a facility on the website that you could put an advert somewhere to say you want staff? And also, as you probably know, there is another publication called The Tribune, which, you know, the north of the district. Yes, but it might bring in some staffing.
Yeah, I think
they're both. People do read it, Henry.
Thank you. Yes.
Take on board those suggestions.
We've taken on board those suggestions. Thank you. So the just finally, members, the last two elections, the PCC elections, which of course and the ECC one, did have a not ECC, the European election,
the referendum.
Yeah, that did have a very high turnout, but it was a yes-no vote. It was easier to count. And the PCC, again, was merely one from five. I'm not sure that, or indeed the Heybridge Parish one, would necessarily be a good measure to test these on, but it certainly is a start. So any other questions, members? Because if not, we've been asked to, if we go to the recommendations on page 6 or 13, that the contents of this report be noted. Are you happy to note that? Thank you very much. And that the Overview and Scrutiny Committee's work on the elections improvement plan is completed and therefore can be removed from the work programme. Are you happy that that should be the case?
Do you want to include the subject to report back after the next year's county election?
Next year's county election, yes. I think that's fair enough. Everybody's happy.
Or
with
any
that.
Other election that might happen between...
Well, I'm not sure that the Heybridge one is going to be...
No, I don't know.
Okay. Okay. That's fine. We're happy to move on then, members. Thank you very much. Okay, agenda item number 7 is any other items of scrutiny members wish to consider. I have had a request from Councillor Pudney to speak on this. So, Councillor Pudney.
Thank you, Chairman. It's to do with healthcare in the district. I was approached today by one of the consultants up at Broomfield, who spoke to me, you know, on the privately, and he's very concerned. And I have had a number of communications from the chief nursing officer at Broomfield and the chief executive. I've had them sent through to all members. And Ms. Marshall and Ms. Ingle, I forgot to mention that I sent them through to Mr. Jennings, so I'll get them sent through to him as well. There's about 6 or 7 communications. I get them as I, you know, work part-time at Broomfield. He is concerned that there's a possibility there may be downgrading the A&E department at Broomfield to make it just... you know, take away the accident emergency bit, make it just for serious, you know, or for disordinary things, you know, you cut your finger. You'll have to go to Basildon. They may even transfer the doctors from Broomfield to Basildon. He asked me what my thoughts were, and I said I wasn't very happy because he thinks, well, Chelsea is now a city, and it's got a very big influence right across this district, and he said it will affect your northern district quite because he does sometimes work here at St. Peter's. I'm very, very concerned about it. I think that the Communities Committee should be notified of it as well. I think they should know about it as well. And it wouldn't be a bad idea at some point to have somebody from the CCG come to see us, I think. Because we've not only got this, but we've also got some of the GP surgeries. Burnham surgery, as you know, is in quite dire straits. There's only 2 doctors there, and they're treating in excess of 9,000 patients. I have had a meeting with Dr. Camlow, the chief, the head GP there,
and he wants to see me again. He's away on holiday, but he wants to have a meeting with me again, and possibly with the manager, you know, the GP, the manager of the surgery. Also, Southminster, I'm told, isn't looking too good either. And at the meeting we had yesterday to do with the community hospital, it was brought up in Any Other Business about it. Councillor Pratt brought it up, and so did I. So, Ms Crass, she is now aware of it, and she is going to she's going to email me. She wants further details about it. But I think that somebody should, because Dr. Hatatura, he's he's a chest physician. I've worked with him on and off for years, and he is very, very concerned with what's going on, because he said it will have a massive impact. And he even mentioned that he said the community hospital that you want built, that he said it could have an impact on that too. So we need to really address it, I think, and let's say community.
Yeah, I would agree. So is that something that would be sent to community services? Because I think that's, if not, then we should have a representative perhaps coming to this committee to answer that very charge.
I need to read the documentation that Councillor Pudney has sent just to check that it is information that should be in the public domain. If it is information that's in the public domain, there's no reason why we can't put that in front of the Community Services Committee, because it's within their terms of reference. But as this committee, you know, you have a right as scrutiny members, if you have any concerns, to ask a representative from the CCG to come along. There's two separate subjects here. So the CCG is currently responsible for commissioning services for acute and community hospital facilities, but they're not currently responsible for the primary care facilities. What they're saying is it's likely that in the not too distant future that responsibility will come their way, but as it stands at the moment, it's not there. So I, on behalf of the committee, can write to the CCG and NHS England and request attendance of a representative from both of those organisations to respond to those specific issues, if that's what the committee wishes.
Can I just come back? Yeah, thank you, Ms Marshall, for that. The letters that you've got, some of them are about a month old, so there are. I'm in work there tomorrow. I've been called in because there is a shortage of staff in the outpatient department, so they've called me in. I will look on my emails, and I'm sure there will be something. If there is, I will immediately send them through, and members and officers can see those too. I am still waiting from James Day, the Trust Board Secretary. I'm still waiting for the notes from the meeting I had, the elected members meeting with the Chief Exec. It was there that she mentioned it, and notes were made. James Day said one of the other councillors as well, from Chelsea City, he asked for them as well. We still haven't received them, so I know James, he is rather busy, but I'll go to his office and say, can you send them to me, and then we'll have more information.
Okay, so are members happy for the Chief Executive to write this letter, and depending upon the result, in consultation with myself, and if necessary, call somebody to this committee? Are you all happy with that? Okay, Councillor Savage. Is this a continuation of what we're talking about, or a new subject?
Not exactly, but 2 years ago we had four officers that turned up, and they were supposed to have come back within about 6 months to us, and by the time they come back it'd be 3 years, over St Peter's. And that appears to have gone. We haven't seen them. The NHS guy, I believe, has been replaced. So there is some outstanding business of them coming back to tell us. And with what we have heard recently about St Peter's and what we've heard today, I'm not very happy at all.
I understand there is some dialogue going on now, Chief Executive.
The lady that Councillor Pudney's just talked about, said Melanie Crass, is the director who replaced Dan Doherty, who's the officer of the CCG that had been to this committee on a few occasions. So she's taken over from him. He won't be coming back. Originally he'd moved out on a secondment basis, but he's not going back into that role. So Melanie Crass is the person who's leading this. She came and reported to the Community Hospital Working Group and sat with members this week and provided an update on the current situation. I did say to her in that meeting that the members of the scrutiny committee, part of your work plan is to you do want to invite her back and respond to questions on the progress of the community hospital. So she's expecting that. So you could pick up both subjects at the same time.
You'd like to come back on
that. Back on that, that's 25% of the answer. What about the other three that were here, including the NHS regional director that's been changed? All four of them were supposed to come back. And if my memory serves correctly, so was the fifth one, which was NHS Estates. And it's not happened, and it's over 2 years.
Yeah, I think you had Andrew Pike, who was the regional director of NHS England. You had the chief executive of MEHT, who's now moved on, but there's a new chief executive, so again, no reason why you can't invite them.
Well, what I'd like to do is, looking at the topics that we have, perhaps these should be standing items for our agenda, and then that does give an opportunity for those members who are responsible for that to comment on that, because we've certainly we've already spoken about the community hospital and the provision of healthcare services. I've also got one question in relation to Stonemaury's aerodrome. Have we yet invited the delegates or received the business plan in relation to their finances?
We are currently liaising with them to sort out either the August meeting, which is our preferred meeting, or the one after that, which is the October meeting. So, and in the meantime, we are getting, we're trying to get copies of their latest business plan as well.
Okay, so members, from the chair, I'd like to propose that we have these prepared topics as agenda items for this committee. Would you be happy to do that?
Yeah.
Do I have a seconder for that?
Yeah.
So Councillor Helm has seconded that. And Councillor Bass?
Could I just suggest that we try, as Ms Nung just said, to try and tie them up with a meeting date so that we get a sort of plan?
Yes.
Because we don't really want to discuss them all on one night. We just want an update as to where we are with them all, but then have one night, I would suggest, devoted to one topic, hopefully with the relevant speakers or whoever we've got coming, so that we sort of draw up a programme for each month. Because it would be nonsensical to try and discuss them all on one night.
Yes, I agree.
But we can have an update, say, well, we've got them coming, they're going to come to such and such a meeting, and we're going to try and change this meeting to that meeting, so that we develop a programme for each of these topics. And I think it pains me to do so, but I have to agree with Councillor Savage. He's absolutely right that the four representatives are here and they promised to come back. We've never seen Hyde and Aaron, and three out of the four are probably not different individuals.
Yes, I understand that those individuals have moved on, but the posts remain.
Yeah.
And I think that is something that we need to...
We should prepare some questions also before they come so that we know what we're going to ask them.
Yeah. Councillor Savage.
I could just tongue-in-cheek say, if you point out to these people that when they come here and they face this scrutiny committee, they've either retired quite well or been promoted.
Okay, so we've agreed then that those will become agenda items. Councillor Bamford.
Sorry, Mr Chairman. I just wanted to say, in light of what Councillor Pudney said, the priority has to be this health service, surely, as our next meeting. I know that we've already got things down here for August, but if this is going to happen quite quickly, or there'll be a formal announcement quite quickly, then we obviously need to get these people here quite soon. And I know August is a terrible month to get people to a meeting anyway, because people are on holidays and things. So I don't know what the chief executive might think about that. I know perhaps we won't be able to get all the people that has been suggested, but the two main ones, which is the community hospital and the possibility of what Councillor Pudney was suggesting, we can get those two here at least, because it seems to be some issue.
The chief executive has just whispered to me that she's going to act very swiftly and get a letter sent out straight away.
So I will strongly put across the concern to the committee and invite them to the next meeting, and we'll see what happens.
And I think, Mr. Chairman, we should authorise you to change the order of these meetings as to whatever subject is on, which is most important, because we as a committee can't do it concretely as to which is going to happen which. But you must bring up the most, what you think is the most important one, even if it means swapping the agenda for that day.
Yes, indeed I will do it, and I recognise that this is a pressing item. Okay, right. I think we're all finished on that. Councillor Howe, I did write your message.
Mr. Chairman, at the beginning of the meeting you mentioned about recording. Halfway through the meeting we switched the recording on. It isn't good enough, I'm afraid. I appreciate minutes are only not word for word, but some of the points we say should be put in and attributed to us, and some of the points the officers say should be put in as well. Otherwise, there's no point unless you sit on the tape on the website and listen to it all. Thank you.
Okay. All right, thank you for that. So we'll move on then to agenda item number 8. Any other items of business that the chairman of the committee decides are urgent? I have none. Therefore, I will close the meeting at 8:34.